in times past and present. God, open the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutinambi Tatiambi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Do vow the noble truth of suffering. Do vow Sandaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Do vow Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient. Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without a self. Anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hirdaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is a holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. with this resignation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I do that and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma, and I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi salaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Well, this is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I was noticing in my gym class last week that what a helpful practice place that is.
Uh-huh.
And maybe because it's so physical and so concrete that it helps me see things that feel more amorphous here, mm-hmm. or in practice generally. So I just had this moment that there's this thing we can balance on one foot at a time. And I've been aware for a long time that if my thoughts wander, my balance goes. It's a great measure,
yeah.
of whether I'm paying attention. Anyway, so I was balancing, and what I was seeing that I hadn't seen quite so clearly before was that if I can balance on this thing, if I just look at one place on the floor and I just balance. If I think about, I need to look at one place on the floor and, you know, plant my foot, I start to wobble.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think about anything else, I go off.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I hadn't, it was such a great illustration of the difference between just being there, doing the thing, just being there, and thinking about being there.
Because mm-hmm. they're two very different processes.
Very different processes. And I, you know, we talk about it a lot, and I think, again, because truly I literally lose my balance.
Yeah.
It was just so clear in that moment what the difference is.
Yeah, you know, in school when you're in the science class and then there's the class and then there's the lab,
right.
where you're actually doing the experiment.
Yeah.
That sounds like what you're experiencing is, okay, so you hear this stuff in theory and then you go, and of course all of life is putting it into practice, but there's something so tangible, so immediate
mm-hmm.
about the and very physical.
Yeah, and I'm aware a lot of that phenomenon of condition coming in a nanosecond after. So, you know, so I will get here, and then condition will say, get here.
Yeah.
You know, or focus on something, or just an awareness will arise, and then condition will come in to say the awareness again, or to give me the instruction to do it, and what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
So I'm aware of that a lot happening, but it's sort of like the experience of it was just so clear. The difference in the experience of those two places was so clear, balancing on that little red path.
Yeah. It's bringing up to me a question about whether it's so when we're just noticing it internally without experiencing it in the body, or whatever, let's just say you're seeing it, it feels like a nanosecond, right? Like it's right there behind it. But when it's something so tangible as you're actually in the body doing an exercise that the balance and you feel it, you experience it in everything in your body, it's almost like, I don't know if it's really a question, but that there's a little bit more space to see it. There's something that opens up that makes it, the learning go in deeper or something like that.
Yeah, so you said two things. One is the learning goes deeper, and the other is there's more distance between those two moments, and I think both are true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that enables the space to be recognized.
Yeah.
The space, we can guess, is always there, but there's something about experiencing it in the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really, it's just magical, isn't it? The way that it happens. We are really sentient beings living in a body. And that, for a reason, there's a reason for that. And it's just so we can, you know, really see what how it works that way.
Yeah. Thank you.
I had a great workshop the other day. I work in the work director's office on some kind of Zen awareness coaching stuff. Just sent in out a welcome email and trying to organize this PayPal account and that kind of thing. And it wasn't really going the way that I wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, I couldn't tell if the email got sent and the PayPal. I couldn't access PayPal, like this kind of stuff. And it was great because I was just sitting there watching. And I watched all this energy rise up. And it was just this, like, this urgency. Like, I've got to get this done. And, like, it has to go a certain way. And, like, just being so thankful for the structure again. Because there was another thing on the schedule, and there was just, and there were a couple things that I maybe could have tried, but I wanted to get guidance on first. So it was like, at that point, I'm like, there's literally nothing to do. Except like, push pause.
Yeah.
And close the computer, go do the next thing on the schedule, get guidance, and you know, take the next step.
Uh-huh.
And I just got to watch front row seat to like this just rush of urgency of like pushing towards of this like this is a problem and I have to get it figured out and urgently like now and I went for a walk because there was nothing I could do so later on I went for a walk and I just breathed and I recorded in the Bible and I just got to see how like that process happens everywhere. And the other thing I realized after I like closed the computer, went for a walk and breathed and recorded with the mentor, I realized like there's actually literally no problem. There's literally nothing wrong. I mean, it's just, and the fact that this is going to have to wait for 2 or 3 days, it's completely a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to see how conditioning was working so hard to spin something that was completely a non-issue into this big dramatic problem. Great to see that.
Yeah. So you got to see how you got to feel and watch the energy arise, and really, the spin is a perfect word, isn't it? Because it really does have to sort of weave something into existence that is not there, which is a problem, it's urgent, it means something, you got to, and you know, as you say, it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
So in other places, without the support of the structure, you might have just plowed right through, you know, blown something else off that you had wanted to do, but really this had to be done, and
sure,
you later felt bad about that, having blown that off,
oh,
and
no.
All of the things that we do when we are caught up in that imaginary story of urgency.
Right. Well, thanks for kind of drawing that out, because it was like pain in the scene, because of course, yeah, out in the world, like, and it just starts snowballing out of control. And then the emotions, the things get so big that it's going to a coping behavior that just makes it way worse.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff, it's like, thank goodness for this wonderful structure where I get to see something so clearly, is something that's so obviously non-issue.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if it's one thing if it's like the really real stuff, but to see that process happen with something that's like a non-issue, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's just...
Now, those workshops that feel a little less real, and this one's like, okay, I mean, more real, and then this is like, okay, it really, really wasn't real.
No.
You can see that within a few hours, you could see how unreal that was.
Yeah, within just a few minutes, really. And it was just so obvious. This is just a conditioned process. It's the only purpose is to cause suffering.
Yeah.
That's it. It's actually, it's not helping me be efficient, it's not helping me get anything done. I saw the conditioned desire, though, for it to be a problem, to stay a problem, and like he's hungry for drama.
Yes.
Hungry for drama. It was like licking his chops and rubbing his claws together.
Yeah.
Like, this is
going
good. But I saw that the human gets nothing out of that. And that the human really, really does what he does long for peace and calm. The peace and calm that's totally available when I don't allow conditioning to make problems out of things that are not problems.
Yes. Well, and you know, that image of, you know, women licking his chops, ready for the pound of flesh, the pound of Lakota's flesh that we're going to get.
Oh, really?
Because it would have been resulted in beating and all of that energy, that drama energy and everything. And the practitioner just told the human totally got saved from that devour.
Got saved. And in seeing through it that one time, it's kind of like, it makes it that much less believable the next time.
Exactly, even, I was going there too.
Yeah, right. Even when it's more real, seeming content, mm-hmm. It's like, no, I think it's possible that it's just creating drama for drama, mm-hmm. for ego to be able to siphon something off.
Take a
pass.
Take a pass on that
one. I'll skip it.
And the other thing that you did that will, I think, serve in the future is that you went to the reporter and, you know, was reporting about it. So when it is really, really real, there really is something, our impulse, instead of plowing through and pushing through and following that, is to go to guidance, get some guidance.
Yeah.
And through a mentor or through peer, literal, you know, asking for guidance. And there's just all kinds of alternatives to that. Conditioned approach, that pondered approach, that is unraveling every time you see it.
Yeah. Just check in with life to find out, get information about what's true.
Exactly. Yeah. What's actually so, and live it accordingly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing that I saw, and there was a key ingredient, was the willingness to slow down. Mm-hmm. It's just so huge. Because the way that it keeps that going is by putting it in the high gear and mm-hmm. stepping on the gas. But the way to get out of it is to slow down. Like that great Lily Tomlin quote, for fast acting relief, try slowing down.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is so everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, the slowing down is just, I was walking down the road and, you know, right before you come to the gates, I was thinking about the sign saying, please slow down.
That could slow be taken down. In so many different levels.
Yeah. So in fact, I took a picture of that once and would look at it while I was eating. Please slow down. Okay, you know. I mean, it's just so. We heard it last night too, a lot around the plants, right? And watering the plants and care, just slowing down. Because actually, what are we getting to? You know, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to get? Right? There's only the next moment, and there's the only there, no matter how fast we're going for it, right? And so to not buy into that is just huge. Not buy into that. Hurry! I gotta do this now.
Because actually, it doesn't help us to do what we're doing. Like with the watering of the plants, if we do it quickly, we're actually going to harm the plant. And we're trying to help the plants.
Yeah, we're going to all this trouble to keep them alive, and here we are inadvertently harming them by the
rushing. I remember the first time I really had a strong experience of how slowing down actually works. Mm-hmm. It was in my old job as a smoke jumper. We're airborne firefighters, and we parachuted in wildland fires. And we have to be ready to go really quickly, so a siren will go off. And in rookie training, we learn how to get, when the siren goes off, you have 2 minutes to suit up and get on the airplane.
Wow.
And 2 minutes to go from like reading a newspaper or
have
a snow cone to like put on a jumpsuit, put on your parachute. You gotta make sure it's on right. It's kind of a big deal. Put that on and then walk. Waddle and get on the airplane and buckle up and you're ready to take off. 2 minutes.
Oh,
and as a rookie, I was like, ah, ah, like how do you, I can't do that. It's like the pressure. Yeah. And so I was like, so they blow the whistle and it's like, go. And it's like, ah! It's just like zippers on wrong, parachutes hooked on upside down. It's like, I would have died. Like, and the first like 50 times I did it, I was like, it was horrible. It just completely blew it. And the trainers knew it was going to go like that.
Uh-huh.
And they just let us fail horribly, like a lot of times in a row, uh-huh. before they gave us the kind of wisdom that would change the day, which was, you got to slow down. And the mantra that we practiced with was, slow is smooth, smooth is fast.
Ooh,
and
yes.
So just, siren goes off, and you do the opposite of the conditioned reaction. Instead of urgency and panic and adrenaline, you just take a big, deep breath, and you intentionally go slow. It felt so weird and so off. I was like, this is wrong. But I was like slowly reaching down and I grabbed the zipper and I watch as it went into the thing. I watch it click and then I slowly zip it up. And everything was in slow motion, kind of, but it was going according to the procedure. And it blew my mind. I could not believe it when the first time I tried that, when it felt effortless. It felt like it took years. And I got it done in time for the first time.
Wow.
It was like, oh my God.
That is awesome training.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And
all that within 2 minutes from slowing down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does it say in slow
is smooth? Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Yeah. The other thing I got to see in that too was in taking the time to slow down, I got to see over time what is essential and what is not. Mm-hmm. There are certain steps that actually you can kind of skip and do in the airplane. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just like in life too. Just like with what I saw with the computer the other day. Mm-hmm. It's like, is this actually essential that I accomplish in this moment? No, absolutely not.
Yeah. That's a really good point. The guy that often reminds us of that. In a way, it's sort of a borrowing trouble. Asking questions that aren't even here yet.
Yeah.
And how wasteful of time and energy and everything that is. But to just do what is right in front of you, and what is right in front is to put the zipper on. That's all. Not even zip it up yet.
Yeah.
Just then zip it up. What is right here in this moment to do?
Yeah.
That's huge.
In the case of the other day, it was, okay, well, I did the steps I could do. Now it's time to close the computer, get guidance, wait 3 days, and not think about it again in the meantime.
Right.
And just be here.
Yes.
Do the next thing.
Because that process is following life.
Yeah.
It's not getting something done. Again, it's the process, not the content that focuses on.
And ironically, that's how great things get done. Yeah. That's how things get done effortlessly.
Yeah.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast is true in a golf swing also. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people say, you make it look so effortless. And when my game goes off, I know that I'm pushing. I'm trying to do more, and it makes it worse. I'm trying harder, and things get worse. And the workshop that several of us are in,
yeah,
is sort of never-ending.
The Mani Karma workshop.
The one with Sherry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be true in that also.
Yeah.
Just slow down, do the process, and it will work.
They even have a little phrase, go slow to go fast.
Go slow to go fast. And when technological things go wrong, or they're not doing what I want them to do, I get that rush of energy. And as a 9, I am slow to anger, slow to express it, slow to get there. But boy, do I get there fast with that kind of thing. So, hearing that last conversation, I'm not sure it's going to help, but I'm sure it will perhaps help me remember. It's just energy. For me, it's feeling powerless. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do. I have to depend on everybody and everything in the background, mm-hmm, to make what I'm trying to do happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that background stuff is. I don't know who those people are. I don't know how to contact them. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It's completely powerless, and that's where I guess I have this illusion that I have some, that in other areas I have some kind of power and control. Well, boy, it seems. Yeah.
Well, because what's coming up is that in that moment, any illusion, I mean, who knows if it's everywhere, other places or not, but in that moment, there is no illusion that you're in control, that you have any, that the I has any power.
Right.
And so
I am completely not in control, and I completely want to be in control.
And you completely know that you're not. Identity wants to be in control. Identity knows it's not. And identity is making that anger, you know, doing whatever it does to try to reestablish its control and fight against the reality that is always so. That is always so. But in there, but what's happening, it sounds like, is that in that moment, with technology and when there's really nothing you can do and all that, I mean, I know if you got a show of hands, that one's a hot button for everybody because so few of us, maybe not Bob, because he really does know what to do about, but for the rest of us who don't, right? It really reveals that illusion of control. It reveals this in a way that can't be denied. And so there is ego trying to reestablish that.
And as I'm looking at it, I'm realizing a sort of fear arises
mm-hmm.
when I give it so much. I'm having to realize what feels like very heavily
mm-hmm.
on something that I can't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of frightening when I can't make it work, when it won't do what it says it was going to do.
And what is the fear of?
Not getting things done on time, not being able to do them at all, not being able to meet a responsibility. Things you would reckon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because so there's this fear that I'm not going to be, I'm not going to make this happen, this responsibility is going to be, you know, not met. And I would presume that in that whole world means something then, that really, really bad.
It just means what does it mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
It comes back to control.
Mm-hmm. It comes back to control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't control it, so I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so the ball is in somebody else's court.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is that, isn't it? Is that that again? It's not the. I mean, because we know, at least intellectually, that we're never in control. But in that moment, it's real. It's like it's recognized. There's no denying it. That illusion is just burst to smithereens. That is, it's all out of my hands. I'm really out of control. It's in somebody else's court. I can't do anything. I can't even understand what I should be doing. No control. And the karmic conditioned approach to that is anger.
Yeah, it's anger and fear.
And fear.
What I'm seeing as we're talking through it, it rarely happens. When it does, no one points a finger and starts yelling. Everybody says, okay, we'll get Bob. everybody's completely understanding this. You know, maybe there's a child. I'll look and see whether it's an authentic young person who wants to. Be responsible for whether it's just sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never looked at it like that.
There may be an aspect of the personality or an aspect of life that wants to protect. participate, that wants you to be, you know, where you're, sounds like you're doing
my
part.
Doing my part.
Doing your part. Yeah, I'm on the team. I'm contributing to the team. It's a great thing. And then conditioning, then through some glitch that really in and of itself is not inconsistent with being on the team at all, as your experience bears out. Okay, the team rallies. Let's find out the final solution of this. There's that possibility. But where karma would take it is anger, and I'm not in control, and I'm gonna, you know, it just totally calls the person who wants to be part of the team away and makes her wrong and bad and irresponsible and all of that. So it sort of, you know, corrupts that beautiful aspect of life of I'm gonna be a part of participating with the team into this kind of ugly illusion of a separate self.
And one of the aspects of a monastery that I was never a monk, never had lived here. So, and one of the reasons in my head is that communication was so slow. And I think it used to be a whole lot slower than it is now. A whole lot. It took me many years to find any value in that at all. Mm-hmm. Like it was, I can see it.
Uh-huh.
I still don't like it. But I can't see it.
Yeah, but you can see it. Yeah, it really does go back to that slow down to go fast, or slow down. Okay, but the slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Yeah. Sequoia.
Well, this is my group. I just so much is arising. The whole thing about the whole thing, and especially about control. It has been so up for me lately. I just saw it coming up for me big time recently, that just need to control everything, need to control myself, need to control the environment, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like probably karmic. I mean, years and years of being in situations that were really out of control, mm-hmm. and being in a position of responsibility, mm-hmm. and knowing that there's just no way that, you know, to win in the situation. Uh-huh. I mean, intuitively, but you know, you gotta just, you know. And so just having that arise over and over again, like, got to control this. And seeing that, I think what's motivating is there's just some kid in here that thinks if she gets it controlled, she's going to get one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, then finally it's going to be that place of getting accepted and appreciated and, you know, the only things that can... That she's, you know, still looking for an external acknowledgement in some way. And I just felt like things were really reaching a crescendo, you know, just feeling that energy, you know, it's that kind of, you know, boy, it's like, I guess if I had an external parent, they'd be saying, time out, go to your room, close the door, you know, and just having a sense that was, having a sense of what was going on, but, you know, just not a lot of clarity about it. Mm-hmm. I know something's, you know, off. So I had this really great experience you know, we talk about the chick on the inside of the egg pecking, mm-hmm. and then there's somebody pecking from the outside. Mm-hmm. Well, just when I'm seeing this whole thing about control, and knowing it's not going any direction that I want it, you know, that the heart really wants it to go. So I'm given access to a group that Sherry recorded 30 years ago. And I turn this, you know, I turn this recording on, and the first, she opens the group with this, she's talking about control. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it just felt like a hand reaching out, you know, from the 30 years back to present right here in the present something that was needed for this person. And it was just like one of those, oh my God, life, thank you, you know.
You're there.
You know, that's the exact feeling I had. It was like, I'm loved.
Yes, which is what that kid wants.
And it's what that kid, you know, what that kid wanted. And she really got it. It just felt like that total, total love. And what was, you know, what was really cool about it too is that it all just happened organically. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't, it did come, it felt like it was coming, happening from the inside out, mm-hmm. you know? So anyway, I listened to this group. I need to listen to it more. But basically what I got that just really assisted me in that moment was, it's great when all our control issues come up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the best, it's the best place, because what we get to see is everything that we don't accept in mm-hmm. ourselves. Everything that we're trying so hard to control and push away and not mm-hmm. Not allow, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, and so it was just like, oh. It's just a, you know, just a great relief to see, oh my gosh, what a wonderful opportunity to look at those parts or those places that haven't been, that are still not welcome, mm-hmm. that still haven't maybe even been noticed. That they're, that it's not okay to be that way for this person.
Kind of puts a new spin on the whole, the energy you've been finding yourself in lately and the crescendo. Like, yeah. Oh no, something bad is exactly. Heading somewhere bad. And then you hear this, and it's like, yeah. Aren't you so happy?
Yeah.
You to see all this stuff.
You're right. It was just like taking a really wild, you know, the car is speeding 100 miles an hour, and then it's like taking a really wild left turn that you don't expect. Uh-huh. Like, you know, uh-huh. So sure you're headed for the crash,
yes.
You know. And yeah. Then, yeah. It's like, well, here.
Yeah.
And so then, I mean, it's just like, immediately the relaxation happened in my body and everything in such a way that it's just hard to explain. I just started having a way different experience with my environment, you know. Mm-hmm. And I could see what a pain and a tootie it is, you know, it is to be in the presence of somebody that's just like feeling this need to, mm-hmm. you know, have it all controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And see the kind of see the humor in it, and you know, kind of laugh at her, mm-hmm. you know.
While you're loving her. Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of not the laughing at in a derisive way, but
no,
but,
just
know,
like
just,
yeah.
You're so loved.
I know.
What is that quote? You know, something you're so mistaken about.
Yeah.
What is it that we're learning? No.
No, it's not coming.
You know what I mean?
You know,
it's like seeing her, and she's been so upset
yeah.
and frenetic about it, and just sort of laughing in a real sweet kind of, oh, you're so mistaken about who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, true, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And a lot more compassion for my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So,
So the relaxation.
Just really a lot of relaxation in the body, and a lot more. It's okay. You know, it's okay. There's really nothing to control.
Yeah.
And in fact, just letting it go and just letting it hold on organically
yeah.
is just like way more fun and way more like who knows, you know, where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then last night I had this dream, and it just feels like it's whole part of the whole thing, where I found a young child, and she looked like me that I hadn't just disowned. And she was probably about six, but I hadn't lived with her. I hadn't taken care of her. I don't know who had taken care of her, but it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. And then once again in the dream, I lost her. And I was like, God, I gotta find her again. But, you know, and so it was just that, just acknowledging that there's those aspects that haven't even been, they haven't been cared for. They haven't kind of almost been, you know, didn't know she was there.
Yeah, really. Didn't even know she was there. Yeah. Didn't know that you were missing something.
Yeah, didn't know us.
And so it really is, again, I go back to what you were pointing out a minute ago, that it really is, which I heard in the recording,
that
we're so fortunate when those things arise.
Yeah.
And they're painful or unpleasant or terrible but to the heart that wants to see, to the practitioner who's devoted her life to see, they're gold.
Yeah, it's just, you know, just gratitude for it. It just feels like having come through one of those times when it just was just immensely painful. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just this morning, for the last few days, it's been like just waking up into love, you know, just waking up into I love you, and feeling that love, and just being in love, and as I was recording this morning, it was like just a miracle of that, you know, just that whole trajectory of coming from that place of just like, okay, take me out now, because really, I think I've come to the end. There's just, there's nothing here, you know, there's just, it just felt like the end. Like the end.
Yeah. Immense pain.
Immense pain. And then to find, you know, now waking up with that, you know.
Immense love.
Immense love. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's just not over till it's over.
And I was just projecting that what a faith builder that is. Yeah. Every time you wake up and find yourself in, because it kind of requires the immense pain. You know, in a way, to get it, that, this immense love is actually available.
Yeah.
And in that moment of waking up into that immense love, it sounds like what your dream was pointing to. It's like, here she is.
Yeah.
Here she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Just, you know, it's just, well, it's just said about suiting up, you know, or, you know, see, yeah. At the beginning of that job, that's the place I was in. I quit. You know, I
don't care.
I don't even care. You know, I'm not. Yeah. But you know that whole thing about not quitting and just showing up and doing it wrong how many times and you know,
trusting the training,
one day you're just. Is it for slowly and
because one day something drops in or someone tells you a piece of information that you needed, like on that recording 30 years ago.
30, yeah.
That life just put in your path because it hurt the pecking from the inside out, and there it is, and connection is made. And the immense love is kind of broken out into this immense thing.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Thank you.
I came across a quotation yesterday from Anne Lamott, which I will not probably be able to say exactly, but it keeps coming up in our conversation this morning, which is, there's probably not anything that can't be fixed by unplugging it for a while. including yourself.
Including yourself. let me reflect it in case you can speak a little bit. So there's nothing that can't be, that probably can't be fixed by just unplugging it for a while, including yourself.
I really liked it, and I actually think it really speaks to what I've been, where I've been. Mm-hmm. So when I was gone for 3 weeks in a place totally different, and in a way of being totally different, it was like being unplugged. Mm-hmm. And I could see more clearly the ways in which conditioning was running my life. Mm-hmm. Back in the places where I was plugged in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's become a practice to stay unplugged for a while. Mm-hmm. Until I can plug in a way that comes from authenticity and not from conditioning.
Mm-hmm. So there's a practice then from having that recognition of being away that I really want to stay unplugged for a while, and kind of carrying that experience or the insight that you had into all the ways conditioning runs you when you're plugged into it, and plugging back in, you might say, into authenticity.
Yeah, and just, you know, and I don't quite know how that works because I can't do that.
Yeah, that's right, because you're more actually authenticity.
So still having to go through some of the routines that have to be done, but attempting to be stepped back from them a bit, and then also others actually letting go for a while to see how would I do that if I wasn't just plugged into my routines.
So let me see if I'm with you. So there's a recognition of the karmic routines that we're metaphorically saying that's the plugged-in place, right? Mm-hmm. So that runs a lot of your life.
Yeah.
And what you're practicing now, having been away, is as you go about your usual processes, your daily activities, we might say, watching, maybe, you know, stepping back and sort of watching how this system inserts itself into those daily things, mm-hmm. and not wanting to go with that system, and yet, you know, you do your daily life, you do your activities, and wanting to do those from a different place. And just that stepping back process is the important place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's when we're watching.
Right, and attempting to really stay in that unplugged place. It feels somewhat uncomfortable because it's not the norm. Mm-hmm. It's not the way it ought to be. It's not the way it's always been. Mm-hmm. But knowing that the way it's always been has been to a great degree unconscious and run by belief systems and habits.
And what if staying unplugged is actually not staying in that place, but going back into that with consciousness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and right, and seeing what that looks like.
Yeah, not being afraid of
Right. Not
being afraid of it, because it's just going to reassert itself. That's just what it does, you know. And what the unplugged quality is, the authentic part of it is bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to that, mm-hmm. not to swap it with anything else. Right.
Yes, that, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not to swap it with anything else, because there's a huge, it's like having given up some control. And yet conditioning wanting to come right back in and getting a new version of control. So,
yes.
Okay, well, that didn't work. So where can I do this so it'll work again?
Yes. So coming back and getting a new version of control, and maybe even something like, okay, I really want to hang on to this unplugged feeling.
Right, that, uh-huh. that too, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah I haven't picked up a book, but I started to reading it. It's a true story of a person's life and how they actually came into awareness and had a moment in their life where they actually saw that they were not the person that was having the thoughts in their head. Uh-huh. And I was like, whoa, you know, somebody could just actually come to that? Because, you know, even though I know I am not the person having those thoughts in my head, most of the time that they're there, I feel like the one who's thinking them.
Uh-huh.
You know, so kind of that ability to actually be seen at the same time is like, kind of is like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then this person went on to, you know, really take on how to distance himself from those voices and try all kinds of different things, from really deep meditation to, you know, in a sense, began by trying to outrun them, realized that wasn't going to work, and then took on the experiment of just not going with what they said and doing what life said. And so somebody presents something and conditioning comes up and says, no way, I'm going to do that. And he says, well, then I'm going to do that. You know, and just reading the story of him doing this, just, you know, conditioning is just terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't, you know, on the one hand, there's a total desire to live life that way. And on the other hand, it's like, no way.
Yeah.
And I just watched that.
And you know what's interesting to me is that setting up that duality that it has of, oh, there's, I want to do this, no way, I want this, no way, it misses the fact that you've pretty much given your life to that way. I mean, you know, it's like, huh, I'm not going with the thought, the conditioned thoughts for following life. Where have I heard that before? You know, it's like what you've been practicing for the last 14, many years.
It says, well, yeah, that's what you're practicing, but, I mean, there's this yabit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you do it in these ways, but, you know, just really doing it that way. Totally, no, we don't.
Yeah.
You know, we don't go there.
We
don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know who doesn't go there.
Uh-huh. And it just kind of claims Mickey, that you're with me.
That's right. Right. You stay over here in my tent.
Yeah.
Kind of take things more.
Yeah.
I've been having a big time with control to workshops in it, and just getting to see how, like, honestly, I'm not really very much in touch with the illusion of really well.
You mean it's an illusion that I'm in control? Because it feels like I'm in control.
Right. Yeah. Just really getting to see really starkly that honestly, no, not very in touch with that. Which is the sign that there is a getting in touch with the illusion part. Right?
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
And so just getting to see all these ways that all the things it's made out of and all the things that arise to protect it and all like that, it's been amazing. A big piece of it was getting to see how the touch is part of the control, in the sense that not just, so I've seen it as like, it controls the human's behavior and like that,
mm-hmm.
But also seeing it as a form of control in the sense that, so yeah, it's awful. Really awful, but it's a kind of known awful, like it's a known quantity and quality of awful, and it's about specific known things, right? It always touches about the same stuff,
mm-hmm.
So it's a form of control in the sense that it's like a barrier on attention, because if attention wasn't on that torture, like all of life could come through, anything. So it's like, it's awful, but it's familiar and it's known, and it's like, it's a form of control. And I just have never seen it in that way before.
Yeah, so let me see if this is kind of what you're pointing to, that the familiar torture,
mm-hmm.
is so compelling, so, in a weird way, attractive. Mm-hmm. It attracts the attention, even though it's torture, it's so familiar. And that is in a way how that controls the human, because the attention goes there. Familiar is really, really good in this scenario, right?
Yeah.
In that torture scenario. Because if that weren't So, if the attention didn't go there habitually, anything from life could happen. The possibilities are infinite.
Right.
And so, the control that ego has to exert is to make sure the attention keeps going, or the allure of the familiar keeps stays intact.
And it's like you can feel how the collusion with that happened, because it's awful, but we know in what way and how it's going to be awful. Whereas if the vast universe of life can sweep through, no control there.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that just deepens the resolve to let all of life sweep through. And we were talking in group about control just this week, and Sherry was saying it is possible to just surf through life.
Yeah.
And just be kind of keep thinking and kind of practicing that image.
That image of kind of she was pointing down in the heart.
Yep.
And that there's just this, cool stops. Pull in here, turn, everything. And that life is guiding us all. Life is guiding all along. And the prerequisite in the way that you're pointing to is that there cannot be an I that is pulling toward the familiar, because then life doesn't have the steering wheel, so to speak. So there is this willingness to let go of this illusion of control that's required in order to have instead all of those infinite possibilities of life.
Yeah.
It really is. Because the other thing that dropped in as you were talking about the familiar torture is that there's somebody getting tortured. Mm-hmm. That's in a way that can the control feels so good to ego that it's easy to miss that, but there's someone getting tortured here.
Yeah. And just there's just such gratitude for it all. Like in the recording from 30 years ago, right? This is good news.
Yeah.
That all of this is coming up to be seen. And just such gratitude for all that.
Yeah. The gratitude that it's all coming up to be seen.
Yeah. This conversation has helped me a lot of the conversations have helped me see some new things, and because I've been really looking at energy, and one of them is going slow increases energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's intuitive to go fast. Like you think fast will increase energy, but actually, my experience has been that going slow increases energy, and the reason I think is. Because it allows you to pay attention and not have the conversation. You know, when I'm in a rush, I'm in a conversation with conditioning, and that's draining my energy.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going slow, I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, and my energy is increasing.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that.
Yeah. So when you go slow, you're with the breath, you're with the present, you're going in this moment, and the energy actually increases. As opposed to when you find you're going fast, it's often because conditioning is kind of pushing you to go fast, and that drains the energy.
Yeah, because it feels like it's like, and I just had this experience this last week where I started the week off going really slowly, doing everything really consciously, really watching, and then I ended it with going really fast, conditioning talking to me a lot, I was in conversation with it, and then my energy just went boom, just straight down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you can watch the shift in your energy, drop in your energy from it. And was it the speed or was it the attention on conditioning that we felt like the energy dropped. Do you know what I'm asking?
Well, I think it's the conditioning. I don't think it's the speed with which I'm moving as much as it is the speed of the conversation right now.
Okay.
And how many of them and how much it's talking to me and how much I'm listening and all of that. I've just been noticing how it's talking on both sides of dualities really fast, and just yesterday, and how it was draining. I was listening to it, and then I woke up and went, wait a minute. You just told me I needed a swimming pool, and you just told me I needed to go completely off the grid. Those are two options.
So if in a way it's the speed of the conversation that's the draining thing, because your attention, is it that your attention gets drawn to fast talkers? Like when conditioning is like that's what draws the attention. And what dropped in is that you caught it, that, it's just talking fast and all that to get my attention. It's not even, because it's saying contradictory things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's about what I have to do, and there's so much of it, and you need a break. You've been doing too much, and just everything.
Oh yeah.
Just going on.
It just sounds. I get this image of just being oppressive, like being battered by voices.
Yeah. And I think the intuition is to listen to it, or the familiarity, whatever you want. Maybe not intuition, since we use that for wisdom, but the habit. Is to go with it and think, I need to get busier, I need to do more, I need to, you know, do all this, when really sitting down and unplugging is probably where you're going to get the energy, is where you're going to get the energy, not listening to that.
Yeah, it is back to the familiarity, isn't it? Because that's what we're so, if you really get a good respect for how deeply ingrained the habits are, the conditioning is, respect in the sense of, oh wow, this is really what we're up against, but and to recognize the energy being drained is huge. Like, okay, I actually really have the experience of feeling worse when I'm that.
Yes. Yeah. And it was such a contrast, because I was having the surfing experience, and had a really high level of energy, and then I don't really know the moment I got triggered, but at some point I started listening to it.
Yeah.
And I just went that way. And I went with it, and then it just went boom like that. And I knew it. Like, it was just like, whoa, this is like crazy.
And getting back to that, it's so good that it happened, because we got to see that. Because that's what we're, it's not a mistake, not a oops that it happened, not a bad thing, but it's so good that you were there to see, okay, when I'm surfing the fly, it may feel unfamiliar, but there's high energy, it's been going with that, the attention gets pulled away to what is familiar, what is habit, what is the default, and it was yammering on, kind of fast talking, do this, no, do this, do this, do this, do this. You know, and you got watched the energy come. And you were there to see it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think I went unconscious for a period of time. And I was saying, there's something going on to external people, like, there's something going on. There's nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong in the whole environment of where I'm at and my content of life. And I was saying, this is just the voice, this is just conditioning. I don't have my complete control. I don't really know what it is yet, but there's something here. Mm-hmm. And then the thing with the swimming pool and
the
food forest, which I'm supposed to be doing.
And don't forget about world peace, Renee.
kind of tipped me off.
Yeah, really. No small projects for you.
Exactly. I'm supposed to have a mansion with a swimming pool, and then the other side of it, a tiny house with a food forest.
Off the grid.
Yeah. So the conversation was really helpful to seeing all that
yeah.
today. Yeah, it's wonderful.